look at the Ethiopian eunuch, and we'll look at Philip. And again, Philip is one of the fellows in the Bible. We recognize the name, don't know a whole lot about him. He's not like Paul or Peter or James or John or Moses or anybody like that, but he was important to the Lord. The Lord used him in a mighty way. And we'll see that today in Acts chapter number 8, beginning in verse number 20. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south into the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, Sir, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. And here we look at these verses, and I want to talk again about Philip as we have in the past. And first of all, in 26 and 27, it says, The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. First of all, we see that Philip was surrendered to the Lord. The angel of the Lord called Philip and says, Arise and go to the south. He was surrendered to the Lord. And there comes a time in every person's, every born-again believer's life where they have to make a decision to say or reject, Here I am, send me. Obviously, Philip had been down that road and had already said to the Lord, Here I am, send me. And a lot of times folks will get that time in their life where they hear the Holy Spirit's calling and they say, Lord, here I am, send me. And a lot of times the things will get between that, here I am, send me, and actually going. But Philip here was surrendered to the Lord, and the Lord called him and said, Go, and he went. But not only was he surrendered to the Lord, in verse 29 it says, Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. He had obviously surrendered to the Lord, and he was obviously sensitive to the Spirit. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes it's easier to determine the will of God than it is others. And a lot of times that's determined by our walk with Jesus Christ, how close we are in our relationship, our fellowship. But he was not only surrendered, he was sensitive. And that Spirit You ever feel like maybe the Lord wants me to do this, you're just not sure about it? And sometimes we're sure about it, but we want to play games. So I'm sure about it, but I really don't want to do it. Amen? But Philip was surrendered, and he was sensitive. And that's what we need. We need to be sensitive to that still, small voice, sensitive to the Spirit of God. And say, well, how can I be sensitive? Well, get all the garbage out of your life. Get cleaned up. Get everything under the blood of Jesus Christ and ask God to use you. And then, you know, maybe ask Him specifically, Lord, help me be sensitive to Your Spirit. We are oftentimes so inundated and attacked by the things of the world and different spiritual things that, and caught up in the things of life and the things of the flesh that we cannot really identify whether it's what the Lord wants or not. Sometimes we can't even dig through our own fleshly desires or lack of desire and figure out whether it's us or Him. But to be sensitive to the Spirit of God, that's something we need. You ever pass up an opportunity to witness for Jesus Christ and then 10 seconds after that opportunity's not coming back, you realize that God wanted you to do it? And that's what I mean about sensitive. Being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, sometimes it's just like the Lord tells you to do something, there's no way around it. It's obvious that God wants you to do it. And other times you're like, yeah, maybe He does, maybe He doesn't. And then you're like, yeah, He definitely did because of the conviction that comes afterwards. But Philip didn't have that problem at this point in his life. At this point in his life, he was sensitive and he was all in. And if you're honest with God and honest with yourself, sometimes we're a lot more sensitive to the Lord than we are other times. But he was sensitive to the Spirit of God, and that's what we need to be. We need to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Sometimes it's praying. I was talking to a guy the other day, and he was telling me, you know, pray for my daughter Bethany. She's haven't seen her for a couple years, haven't seen my grandson, haven't seen all this stuff, and we believe she's all caught up in this problem right now. And I said, well, tell you what, let's pray right now. I believe that's what the Lord would have us to do. He's saved, I'm saved, He asked for prayer. I believe right there and right then is the Lord wanting us to pray. Now, sometimes, you know, people say, I'm passing, hey, thanks for the track, would you pray for me? And they keep on going. But I think sometimes God gives us the opportunity right then and right there. And how about you, but I could give you a list of times if I thought about it where I passed that opportunity up, maybe prayed later. But what an opportunity. And what an opportunity to get to pray with another believer. What an opportunity to get to try to encourage somebody to keep on keeping on, or maybe they're out and they need to get back in. But if you're sensitive to the Spirit of God, God's not going to just use you to witness to people. He's going to use you to encourage the saints. He's going to use you to let somebody else know they're not alone. He's going to use you to let somebody else know that maybe the devil's got them on the ropes. Maybe they feel like they're in this all together. They're like Elijah under the juniper tree. They're like, I quit. I give up. I've got nothing left. Nobody cares. Maybe God will use you to just show you God still cares. Just to show them that God still cares. And, you know, God cared about the Ethiopian eunuch. He cared about his soul. And Philip, being surrendered to the Lord and sensitive to the Spirit, was able to be used of God to give a message to the Ethiopian eunuch. Look at verse 30 and 31. He was surrendered to the Lord. He was sensitive to the Spirit. 30, it says, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. So let's just stop there. And Philip ran thither to him. He was not only sensitive to the Spirit, he was serious about the call. He didn't have to meditate on it and pray over it and think about it and talk himself into it. He ran. When the Lord said, do this, he ran to get the job done. You know what I think? If we would run to get the job done, sometimes God would bless us like we'd never believe He'd bless us. But a lot of times we're like, yeah, I could do that later. But he was serious. Serious about his calling, so serious that he didn't say, I don't know, Lord, is this the right thing to do? He didn't have to look for 10 Bible verses to convince him. He didn't have to get on his knees and pray for half an hour. He didn't have to go to his prayer closet and say, Lord, are you sure that's what you wanted me to do? Wanted, past tense. He ran. he ran thither. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. He was serious about his calling, and God used him to guide the Ethiopian eunuch. We don't save souls, and we don't repair lives. We guide people, the one that does. Amen? Could you imagine? Now, I personally believe the Ethiopian eunuch's looking for truth. He's going to send somebody to give him the truth. And Philip got in on that deal. What a deal. He got in a deal where a guy actually called out, actually believed on Christ, a blood-bought, born-again believer at this point, for believing on Jesus Christ. He was sensitive to the Spirit, serious about his calling, and he ran toward the calling, not away from it. Isn't that something? You know what else? In verse 32, the place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man?" You know something about Philip? He was sure about the scripture. He was sure about the scripture. The eunuch wasn't. He wasn't born again. He didn't understand the scripture. He didn't have the Spirit explaining things to him. He didn't have the Spirit of God in him. But Philip was sure about the scripture. And he guided him to Jesus Christ. You know, the Jews aren't sure about that scripture, and they've had that scripture since a long time, since before the church had it. They're not sure about it. Philip was sure about it. He was so sure about it, he said, "That's Jesus Christ he's talking about." He preached unto him Jesus. He didn't preach unto him, "That's Israel," which is what the Jews believe in Isaiah 53. They believe that Isaiah 53 somehow applies to Israel and rejected Jesus Christ because they didn't believe that that was talking about him on the in the crucifixion, him on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection. But he was sure about the scripture. Look at 36 and 37. This right here is why I believe we ought to have Sunday school and Wednesday evening Bible studies and stuff. You know, Sunday school is not in the Bible, but the Bible's in Sunday school. Amen. 36. "And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, 'Sir, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?' And Philip said, 'If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest.'" You know what he was? He was sound in his doctrine. He didn't say, "Okay, if you want to get saved, we're going to baptize you, and you'll be saved by the water." He said, "If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest." If you're saved, then you can be baptized. And that baptism is an outward showing of an inward change. It's a testimony of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ being applied to your account. And that's what Philip understood. He was sure about the scripture, and he was sound in his doctrine. Matter of fact, he was so sound in his doctrine. Let's look at verse 38 down through here. "And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing." He was sound in his doctrine. He was solid on his view of baptism. Not only said you've got to believe first and then be baptized, he didn't break out the holy hanky or start flicking water on his forehead. They went down into the water, and he was scripturally baptized. How do I know that? They went down in, and it says, "And when they come up out of the water." They didn't go to the priest and have him flick water on them. They didn't go to the Church of Christ and talk to them about being saved by being baptized. He got trusted Jesus Christ, and he went down into the water, and they come up out of the water. People say, "Where do you get Baptists get that baptism thing?" Well, we get it from the Bible. Right there is a scriptural baptism by immersion. They both went down in the water, come up out of the water. He was solid on his view of baptism. Isn't that something? And we're talking about a time back in the transition period Well, there was a lot of confusion going on about how they got the Holy Spirit and baptism and what baptism meant. Apparently, there's still a lot of confusion about what baptism means today, but Philip had a solid view of baptism. He had a solid view of the understanding of the Scripture, and he was solid in his doctrine. That might not sound like a big deal, but when Philip was walking the earth, there weren't a lot of people. Hey, Philip's walking the earth, and Peter's still trying to figure things out. How do I know that? Because Paul didn't get saved till chapter number 9. We're reading out of chapter number 8, and Paul's the one that straightened Peter out on his Bible doctrine. So here's somebody, before Paul was ever saved, that understood that somebody needed to trust Jesus Christ and then be baptized as a step of obedience. Amen? So he was surrendered to the Lord. He was sensitive to the Spirit. He was serious about his calling, so serious that he ran toward what the Lord had called him to do. He was sure about the Scripture, sound in his doctrine, had a solid view of baptism. And look at verse 40. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till they came to Caesarea. He was sold out for the truth. He was a lot different than an independent fundamental Baptist. You know how I know that? Because Philip preached all the way along the path. He was telling people about Jesus Christ all the way down the road. He preached in all the cities. He didn't hand out one tract at Walmart on Thursday morning because we talked about it Wednesday night. Amen? He didn't load his pocket up with Bible tracts and come back with one more than he left with. He preached all the way. What am I saying? I'm saying that's our life. Jesus Christ is not an add-on. He wasn't an add-on to Philip. He was his life. He preached in all the cities. You know what I believe? I believe he was preaching before God pointed him to the eunuch in all the cities. And I believe he was surrendered and sold out, and he was doing the will of God, and God said, you know what? I'm going to use you here too. And he sent him into a place, if you remember where he went, it was a desert. There wasn't anything there. He called him to a place where Philip's probably going, okay, what am I going to do here? And then he crosses paths with the Ethiopian eunuch, not by chance, but by obedience. He crosses paths with the Ethiopian eunuch, and is able to lead him to the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't have to make sense. We just have to be sensitive and be sold out and do what God's called us to do. A lot of things that we do don't make human sense. A lot of things that happen in life don't make human sense. I told this story before. I'll tell it again. I was in somewhere up around North Toledo at a Walmart. Up on Central or something up there, way up north in Toledo, and getting out of the car, and it's raining. I've got a Bible tract in my pocket, and there's a kid pushing grocery carts. I mean, it's raining. And the Lord's like, give him a tract. I'm like, no, it can't be the Lord because it's raining. Amen? The Lord would wait until it wasn't raining. Surely. So I go over to that guy, and I said, hey, give you something to read about the Lord Jesus Christ. Tells you how to get to heaven. How you can know for sure you're going to heaven. And he stops there in the rain. It didn't make sense to me. Stop there in the rain. That kid's not going to pay attention to me. He just wants to get these cards in. That's what my mind's thinking. But he stops right there in the rain. And tears start rolling down his face. He says, I've been worried about this for weeks. I've been worried about this for weeks. You know what I think? I believe the guy was probably calling out to God. To him, an unknown God. God, if you're there, show me. And God used that situation. And that boy bowed his head and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive him and save him in Walmart parking lot in the pouring down rain. I almost walked past him. I didn't run thither. I didn't run thither. I did thither, but I wasn't running. But the Lord worked it out. The Lord worked it out. You know what I'd been doing before that? Things that made sense to me. And because I did something that didn't necessarily make sense to me, God was able to receive honor and glory in Walmart parking lot in the rain. Amen? It's just amazing what the Lord does and the way He does things. I know when I say when the Lord called me into the prison ministry, but I didn't believe He called me. I just thought I was going to help the preacher. The preacher quit. He left the church before we got our credentialing at the jail. After it took a long time, too. And looking back on it, I kept thinking, why in the world is it taking 6 weeks to get us credentialed? It's a prison. They ought to be able to tell if we're criminals or not in 5 minutes. Amen? They ought to be able to do a background check pretty quick. It's a prison. It's not like they don't have access to this stuff. They have people with guns and stuff and badges. They probably, but looking back on it, I believe the Lord set the timing on that, because right after the preacher said, hey, I'm leaving, within 24, 48 hours, I got a phone call from the prison. They said, hey, we got you all credentialed. You want to be here this Sunday? And I said, well, the preacher, he left. He quit. So they go, well, you're ready. What do you want to do? And I said, well, I'll see you Sunday. And I thought, oh, good night. What did I get myself into? There's been a couple times I could have seen myself in prison, but not preaching. Amen? I could have never imagined that I'd be in there. I had no idea what to do. No idea. So what do? I show up and we have church. We pray, we sing, we pray, we preach. We have Bible studies on a different night. Sometimes on a Monday night, get in there on Monday night. You know what the Lord did? It didn't make sense to me, because why would He call this bozo into that place when I have no idea what I'm doing? I didn't have to know what I was doing. All I had to know is that He knows what He's doing. I'll tell you, I was so fortunate to see young man after young man after young man after young man, and sometimes old man, cry out to Jesus Christ in the prison ministry and get saved. See folks get right, and see folks start to understand. And I didn't know a lot of Bible doctrine, but I knew this. I knew Jesus saved. But there were folks in there that were born again Baptist and had no idea what the Baptists believed outside of salvation. And they were able to get some Bible doctrine that I didn't even know I could teach them. I didn't even know I could help them. What little bit they got fired them up for the Lord. And man, I'm going to tell you, you think we have some good services at the nursing home? We had the same things in the prison every Sunday afternoon. I mean, those guys would show up, and those guys, I mean, that sun would shine through the smiles on their face. There they are. They are shackled in the prison, right? They're locked in that place. Some of them had no idea when they were getting out. Some of them were waiting other charges, knowing they had at least 2 or 3 years, and then they had other charges they were waiting on. And they'd come in there, and man, you'd think they never heard the name Baptist. They're so happy. I mean, they smile and sing. And I'd come in and say, well, let's have church. But you know what? The Lord said, I was like, Lord, what am I doing going in this place? The Lord said, don't worry about it. He just works things out. I think the problem is a lot of times we try to make sense of it and do things in our power, in our making sense. Let's do it in my understanding. Let's do it the way I think I ought to do it. And the Lord just, He'll pull something like that on you every once in a while and just put you in a situation to you makes absolutely no sense that you cannot handle. And it'll do two things. It'll show you His power and it'll make you pray. Make you pray. But Philip was sold out for the truth, preaching along the way. It's kind of an up and down journey for us, or at least it has been in my life. I mean, when I got saved and I realized what the Lord had done for me, I thought everybody needs to get saved, and everybody's going to get saved as soon as you tell them about Jesus Christ. They need it. And then after a while, it's like, man, this is pointless. Lord, they're not listening. They don't care. They're just rejecting the truth. And if we're not careful as a church, we'll set up this stumbling block in front of ourselves where we say nobody's going to listen anymore. Nobody cares anymore. And that's not the truth. The truth is there are a lot of people out there that are confused, that are looking for the truth. And God's looking for a Philip. They'll say, okay, I'll go to the desert. I'll go to a place that doesn't make sense. I'll give the message to the one that I don't think is going to hear it. I'll step out on faith and do what you've called me to do, even though I can't explain it, and see what he does. You know what else happens when you do that? He gets all the glory. He gets all of it. You can't take any of it because you didn't want to do it to start with. Matter of fact, he was merciful and long-suffering with you and allowed you to be a part of it. That's what he did with Philip. Philip was sold out, and he sent him to a place that made no sense to you or I, probably Philip. And Philip said, well, I have no idea why I'm going there, but the Lord says go, I'll go. And then he gets there. Could you imagine? He sees this chariot, and he's like, I can't believe it. There's a chariot. There's a chariot. There's a guy reading the Bible. He's reading Scripture in the chariot. Lord, you do know what you're doing. And then he runs to the chariot. And God takes care of the rest. God takes care of the rest. And Philip got to see a soul pulled out of the flames of hell and placed in Jesus Christ for eternity. Nothing like it. Nothing like it. But he started out by surrendering to the Lord. And as he walked with the Lord, he became more sensitive to the Lord. And he was so serious about his calling that he was able to get past himself and just do what God told him to do. And he had enough scripture to understand that it was Jesus Christ in Isaiah 53. And he was sound in his doctrine. And he understood the guy needed to be born again. And then he could be baptized, scripturally baptized. And when this happened, he didn't quit and say, well, I've done my job. He went on his way preaching in all of the cities. And how about you, but that's convicting. I'll just be 100% honest with you. Sometimes my wife says, you want some tracks? And I'm like, nah. I'm taking a day off. You laugh like that's terrible, but y'all don't do that? Y'all don't take any days off? Y'all don't have the Lord say you take tracks and you say, I'm taking a day off? I mean, my wife talks for him sometimes and says, hey, you want some tracks? And I'm like, oh, man. I'm not in the mood. Now I'm double convicted. Woman, what have I to do with thee? No, just kidding. I mean, sorry, I have nothing. No, I'm not in it. But the thing is, the Lord wants us to brag on him. Even if you're not handing out tracks, just bragging on Jesus Christ is where it's at. But I'm telling you, I believe the Bible, and I think handing Scripture out is the best thing you could do other than actually reading the Bible to them or actually getting them to come to church. Because when you give them that, it's up to them whether they do what they do with the truth. And they've got to battle with the Lord. They're going to have to wrestle with the Holy Spirit, because I believe the Word is Spirit, the Word is truth, the Word is life. And I believe they're going to have to wrestle with the Lord, make a decision to accept or reject the truth. And I believe that God uses those tracts in times you'll never expect or they'll never expect. I believe a lot of times they stick them in their pocket, have no intention of ever reading them, and they get home at night, and it falls out of their pocket, or they put it on their dresser, or their spouse takes it out to wash their laundry, and somebody else reads it. I believe the Lord's going to use that if we do what he called us to do, even when it don't make sense to us. The Jews require the sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. We want to explain everything. The only thing I can explain is Jesus saved. How he goes about getting everything done the way he does it, I have no idea. But I do know this. If you'll surrender to the Lord, be sensitive to the Spirit, and be serious about your calling, and you're sure about some Scripture, and you're sound in your doctrine, and you're sold out for the truth, God will use you. God will use you. Amen? I know this. You might not know it, and I don't want you to get big-headed or think more of yourself than you ought to. But the Lord uses you when you just show up at the nursing home. Amen. Now, if I just went up there by myself, they'd say, okay, well, you know, that's great. Preacher comes in here, and, you know, I've had them say, I thank you for taking time out of your day. And I'm like, this isn't my day. Every day belongs to the Lord. I'm just trying to do what he's called me to do, and most of the time I'm not doing it right. But when they see all these people come in, and some of y'all have developed relationships and friendships with these people, sitting with them at the table, it means more to them than you'll ever know this side of heaven. Especially when they're saved people and they're lonely. and you befriend them like Jesus befriended you, and sacrifice your time when you feel like you'd rather be at home in a recliner, or rather be at home taking a nap, or rather be home eating chicken if you're me or Bill, but you got a million excuses, and God says, yeah, but go thither, and you run thither, and you'll find out one of these days at the judgment seat of Christ how God used you to be a blessing to other folks. I hope I'm never stuck in there. I just want to go, do not resuscitate. I want out of here. I don't want to go to the nursing home, be stuck in that place. But if I do, if that ever happens, I hope and pray somebody cares enough to come brag on Jesus Christ with me. Because you know something? Those folks may not understand a lot of things, and they might not be able to process a lot of things. But you notice, even if they can't formulate a coherent sentence, a lot of those folks know every word of those songs. And a lot of those folks are lip syncing, if you will, the Bible verses when they're being preached. Because they've been in church so long and that stuff is so ingrained in their heart that that's something the devil can never take away from them. There are people in there that can't tell you their birthday, but they can tell you, oh, how I love Jesus, and they can sing it with you. Amen? Amen. Father, we love you and thank you for Philip, the example that you've given us, that he didn't just go home and contemplate. He didn't talk himself out of it. He didn't wait and call in backup. He ran thither and was able to be used of you to save a soul for eternity. And we thank you for the opportunities you give us. Help us to be sold out, and sensitive, surrender to your will, that you'd be able to use us for your honor and your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.